Now on Radio National, we're joined by the creator of one of the great treasures of the Internet Archive. Internet Archive is a non-profit library of internet sites and other cultural artifacts in digital form that was founded by digital librarian Brewster Kahle in 1996. Internet Archive reports having 30 years of web history accessible through its Wayback Machine, which has a total collection of a trillion web pages, 56 million books and texts and much, much more on the Internet Archive. But with AI systems increasingly trawling the web for material to train itself on, commercial content providers are cracking down on trawler bots, and that's seemingly restricting the Internet Archive's access to much of the internet, preventing it from being archived in some ways. This is the latest in a series of David and Goliath battles that Internet Archive has been in. And so far it's survived, but is AI starting to kill IA, the Internet Archive? Brewster Kahle, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you. Could you tell us why you started Internet Archive in 1996 and whether the vision for it is the same to this day?
Well, the opportunity was that people were going and publishing their works, writing things and making things available, sharing widely on this new internet. And back in 1996, when getting on the internet was a matter of going the dial up and the whole thing, but it was starting to be where our culture was happening. And libraries just always make sure that they have, they go and collect copies, buy them, collect them to go and preserve them, make them available in the long term because people are worth it.
Right. So, and so you've been archiving ever since. Just give us a sense of the scale of what is in the Internet Archive. It's it gets to figures and even measures of figures that really boggle my mind, at least, Brewster.
Yes, it has. It's gotten just enormous. So now there are 1,400 libraries and archives that work together through the Internet Archive to go and collect our digital heritage and to make those materials available through the Wayback Machine, which is a free service, to go on to archive.org, go and write a URL and be able to see the web as it was. To be able to do that, we have to go and preemptively go out there and collect these materials. And we collect about 1 billion URLs every day. So every day, there's these 1,400 libraries all go and have their queues that end up with 1 billion new URLs added to the Wayback Machine. So it is a scale that's a little hard to understand. But it's trying to do all the social media. It's trying to basically do the people's websites, the WordPresses. But boy, has the web changed.
It is an extraordinary asset, and it's one I've used many, many times over the years. And there's no doubt about the public interest and not-for-profit motivation of Internet Archive. But I suppose we are now living in a time where people are quite worried about the way commercial providers of AI services and large language models are trawling the web and using that to train their products. How is that affecting the processes that are the bedrock of the Internet Archive?
Well, I'd say the big change that's happened is the consolidation of media companies. So we have basically very few gigantic media companies that control enormous swaths of what it is we're allowed to learn or see. And those companies are seeing a potential payday by suing the tech companies for these new AI technologies. And so there's this back and forth between these mega corporations. And there's some collateral damage going on right now in the cultural heritage areas where we've been going along and collecting these materials, these 1,400 libraries for 30 years. And it's been going along fine and doesn't have any problems. But now these big media conglomerates are going and saying, well, we're going to go and sell and license our materials to these AI companies, I guess, as their readership dwindles. And The idea is they're going to make bank that way. And what they're doing then is coming after the Internet Archive for even having a copy, which would be kind of understandable if it competed with their ability to make those deals, or actually even competed with people coming to their websites. But that hasn't been happening for 30 years. The Wayback Machine is kind of slow. It's really designed for people. If there are bots that try to scrape the Internet Archive, those don't go very far because, well, the Internet Archive is slow, and we also take active measures to go and prevent that. We're here for people. We're here for journalists, for individuals trying to find their old websites, to try to find out what happened, and out-of-print web pages. That's what we're here for. So we're kind of collateral damage in these behemoths going after each other.
We're speaking with Brewster Kahle on Sunday Extra. Brewster is a digital librarian and the founder of the Internet Archive, which I am not surprised to hear is very popular with Radio National listeners. Chris has texted in to say, IA is fabulous. Use it to do deep research. Apparently, hey. Chris was yesterday looking into 19th century whaling on the Internet Archive. So that is fantastic. But could you give us a gauge, Brewster, on how much these changes and the way the blockages that are happening, how much that's impinging on the archiving that you're doing of major sites now, whether it's the New York Times or the Guardian, places like that?
Oh, it's getting to be huge. So we're seeing these large-scale publishers basically drop offline and go to paywalls and then go and reinforce those with technological measures. And I think this is all because they think the future is to go and sell a copy to the AI companies. I don't know. But about 60% of news sites are paywalled. So as the head of Current Affairs magazine headlined his article, "The truth is paywalled and the lies are free." So this is the environment that we're having people grow up in. So if things are available, if not available, like through paywalls or whatever, then they're not linked to from Wikipedia or very often. So things are fragile in that way. So we have a walling off of the internet as people are trying to, you know, figure things out. But the collateral damage on cultural heritage organizations is going in even having a copy of the news as it was. You know, often you would go and turn to your libraries to be able to do genealogical research, to be able to go and see what happened a year ago, 10 years ago, and what the Guardian and the New York Times and many other major news sources are saying is, no, we don't want to be in the library at all. And if you come close to us, we'll sue you. And with the current laws in the United States that have been so determined by the large-scale publishers, they can basically lay waste to, well, anybody that they want to, including, you know, small libraries like us. So they're going after the big AI companies and doing, there's now 100 lawsuits, most of which are class action lawsuits. I heard from an appellate judge in the United States last week that are these large-scale publishers suing the big tech AI companies. And the only people that win out of that are the people that are at the settlement table. And that's not the public, that's not libraries. So we're seeing a great difficulty for these 1,400 libraries to go and build up their collections of news materials. This is not good. We have always gone and paid for and not licensed, but actually bought newspapers and magazines and the like, added those to our collection so we can preserve them. And that socialized funding of local news is really fallen away as we've gone to these basically only national level, you know, or just a few, the local news has sort of fallen away. They've forsaken revenue streams from the libraries to not license materials, but to buy them so that they can have them and use them and preserve them long after those publishers are gone.
Brewster, some of the media organizations, which I understand are now blocking Internet Archive, say that one of their concerns is that the AI companies might be able to access their content via Internet Archive. Do you have evidence that that's been happening?
There's certainly bots that try. They just don't get very far. And so I think it's getting, if you were to actually be one of these companies and you wanted to go and crawl the web, you would crawl the news sites. And they do. And there's a cat and mouse game between the news sites and these the big behemoths. The Internet Archive, yes, has a large number of web pages, I mean, as we talked about, but it comes out through a straw. If you go and use the Internet Archive, it's actually quite slow. It's really designed for people. And yes, some people are using little agents to go and search for things, and that's kind of cool. But the large-scale scrapers, they're not going to come to the Wayback Machine, and we don't see evidence of it. So I think it's basically we've handed over a lot of these tactics to a set of lawyers that aren't really looking at the statistics. We should get it back to, you know, people that understand what the business is for in terms of informing the public, creating a public record, and let's go and have libraries survive into this next generation. And that's really at, that's not clear of whether that's going to happen.
Have you been able to reach agreements with any organizations that have blocked you for some sort of terms of trade to allow you to continue doing the public service work that Internet Archive does, but give them some sort of level of assurance about the way that content might be used or limited use in terms of access by AI bots and those sorts of things?
Oh, absolutely. So over the last 30 years, there's always been these discussions. But what's kind of happened, especially in the United States, it's just send in the lawyers. And that's sort of, you know, we basically have a full employment for lawyers scheme going on these days. So we've always been in conversation with small and big publishers or actually even individuals, because people will put things up on the internet that aren't meant for the ages. They might have their old blog that, you know, talks about their ex-wife or ex-husband or something, and they just want it gone. So they write to info@archive.org, and we take these things down. So there's conversations happening all the time. But what's changed is we just have lawsuits and lawyers that are dominating this, and we now have this giant battle going on. And they're squashing the cultural heritage institutions as collateral damage.
Yeah, yeah. Just finally, Brewster, I wonder if you could tell us about how the Internet Archive operates as what feels like a much more conventional library in terms of access to books by anyone anywhere in the world.
Yes. So the Internet Archive is just a library. And so we take materials and we buy what we can, and we scan what we have to. So, for instance, we're doing all of the government records of the United States and Canada. The idea of democracies want information to be publicly available, and you'd think the public domain would be publicly accessible, but it often isn't. It's in some high-priced database product from some corporation. So we're trying to make those freely and publicly available. We also digitize old materials. So right now we're having real trouble in the United States of people even knowing what's true or not, or whether the Holocaust happened, which is horrifying. So, but we're now denying those younger people, anybody under the age of 40, has been raised on what they've seen on screens. They don't have the library that's even as good as what I grew up with.
Absolutely.
Which is terrifying. So people aren't sure of what's true. And what libraries are here for is to help with that.
Brewster Carle, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
And thank you very much.
Brewster founded the Internet Archive. News time now.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.